Hello and welcome to another podcast. I'm Ross Martin, the host of Unfound Help podcast. Today I'm actually joined by Michael Seaver. He is what I would describe as an author, coach, teacher, podcaster, speaker, and the descriptive words can go on essentially. However, the one thing that stood out for me the most, which is when I actually visited his website, and the first thing that anyone really sees on his website is a phrase which says, defining your life's purpose. So, Michael, welcome to the podcast, and I would like to ask you, what does that phrase mean to you?
Thank you, Ross, for inviting me on the show, and purpose is really different for each. Right, I believe that each of us has what I call an Earth school curriculum, right? We come to Earth to learn a specific set of things, and our purpose is kind of this underlying motivation. It's the underlying why, it's the underlying mission, if you will. It can be a lot of different things around core values even. And so when you think about defining your purpose, it's coming back to the basics of understanding, why are you on Earth this time? What is it you're here to learn? What is it that you're doing in order to help uplift others around you, specifically the underserved? And that's why I like what it is that you're doing so much, Ross, because it's like, how do you help the unfound become found, right? There's really significant power in that. I think you and I have a little bit of a kindred spirit in that way. So again, thank you for inviting me onto your show.
Well, thank you for joining me, actually. Yeah, I'll just touch up a little bit on what you were just saying about my brand slightly. I don't talk too much about it, but I have put it in one of my podcast episodes. The unfound to becoming found, it's, you know, I like to help people. A lot of people may not have that, you know, background knowledge of what they're doing in business or startups and that. So I do have, you know, business management behind me and a background of business. So I like to help smaller businesses, you know, from what the statement is, from where they are unfound, to help them become found, of whether it's themselves, where they need help themselves to find themselves, or to help their business become found. So that's my sort of concept. Essentially, it is really just to help the person. And that's the main goal, is to help motivate people, to help them grow in general. Now, another thing that I know, you see, I like how your website is structured, and I'll talk about your website. It's because, you know, I work a lot on websites, and I do have a partner which is in the website development and software development industry. So I like how your website is really structured, and it highlights exactly what you do. And the next point under that is to unlock your most authentic self, which I know is something that you really try to focus on. So authenticity and your authentic self, what does it mean to become, you know, authentic or have an authentic self?
Yeah, I think it's quite similar to what we just addressed with the idea of purpose. And authenticity to me is being able to be 100% in control of where you distribute time. And that's the thing, right? So many people define success around the world as being money or fame or power. And I think that there's some value in those things as being a means to an end. But the thing that is going to be so much more meaningful in defining who we are is getting to that point of really understanding what leads to a long, happy, and healthy life for us, right? And oftentimes that's self-awareness or self-knowledge, you know, authentically knowing ourselves, and then being in a series of relationships, like really close-knit relationships, where we can authentically show up as ourselves and allow for others around us to be the same, right? So it's being in control of your time. It's knowing yourself deeply. It's being a part of deep and meaningful relationships where you really feel a part of a community, right? So authenticity is a really deep enjoyment and happiness and love for your life day to day, because right now there's a lot of crazy things kind of happening in society. So if we can all come back to the basics in our center, we can uncover those very true things about who we are and live a very meaningful life.
Now, I'd like to sort of reflect on when you maybe started to realize your, say, authentic self. I haven't asked you this, but say, what was your background of, you know, work prior to what you're doing now? And when did you realize that you had to focus on your authentic self?
It started when I was really young. I was raised in a small town in Michigan in America, raised in this town within a family business of landscaping, lawn maintenance, and snow plowing. So from age 12 until 24, I cut grass, shoveled dirt, plowed snow. And it was in those moments of being in that small town that I never really felt like I fit in. I kind of felt emotionally abandoned and kind of like a robot inside the family business. So I left Michigan in 2003 to move to the state of Arizona, and I got into the hospitality industry working inside of a hotel. And after about 4.5, 5 years of that, a lot of significant growth for myself, at age 28, I went through the process of getting an MBA from the Thunderbird School of Global Management. So at age 28 and 29, as I'm getting this degree, my life's purpose, me discovering myself authentically, was occurring there. And I think that that happens for quite a few people, right? They don't really get to that point of clarity until age 28, 29, 30. So I spent, 28, 29 years wanting to discover myself and not knowing how. And then so I had a coach at the school that, gave me some assessments and asked me a series of questions. And that put me down a path of becoming very reflective. So as a second year student, I was asked to coach first year students. And as I was doing the coaching on resumes and cover letters and LinkedIn, I realized that my authentic self was a person who helped others become the versions of themselves authentically. So it took me all the way until age 29 or 30 to really understand that. So it came from having a lot of challenges as a kid to having the coach help me overcome the challenge, and then me iterating and helping others overcome the exact same challenge that I had. And that's where I authentically discovered myself.
Yeah, a lot of people say, and I know America's slightly different, but, in a lot of the parts of the world, they say once you're 18, you're an adult. And I know in America, it's once you're 21, you can only then start drinking. I don't understand that. You're 18 and you're an adult, but you're at 21, you can only start drinking. You just said, and I believe the same. Only when you're sort of, 28, 29, do you start understanding that you've had to go through the years of growing up and realizing through mistakes, whether it's through work, whether it's through experiences, of finding yourself or finding what you want to do in life, and then starting to get that job or career path on the right direction. To be classified, say, as an adult from such a young age, you still don't know what you want to do in life. So for you to even say, who teaches people about your authentic self, that only by the age of 28, 29 or so, that you started to find out what you wanted to do and find your authentic self, it should be a little bit of an eye-opener for anyone who is listening to these podcasts, that even if you are still young, you don't necessarily need to feel that, look, I need to do this right now. You still have years to come. Or even if you are over the age of 30, maybe you still just need to look in the right direction. It doesn't necessarily mean you're not yet there. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree. So I think so many people in Western societies, they compare themselves to other people that they see in the media or social media. And it's not a fair comparison, because you can't compare your Earth School curriculum or your beginning of a process to someone else's middle or end. It's not a fair comparison. And so I just really want everybody to be mindful of is that they should only be comparing themselves to the person they were yesterday, and to give themselves a little grace and cadence as they're going through this. It takes time to discover yourself. So I wasn't really beginning to understand myself authentically until age 28, 29. I'm 41 today, and I'm still discovering, right, at a very, very deep level. So I believe that the process of becoming the most authentic version of yourself happens over a very long period of time if we don't ever discover it in this life at all, right? So just take the time to make sure that you're journaling and reflecting and having conversations with other people to get to that point of understanding of yourself, because every day there will be some deeper level of meaning that presents itself to you.
Yeah, you said another key word, journaling. I don't think people realize what journaling really can do and how it can help, whether it is writing it on a piece of paper or just writing it in your telephone on notes. It helps you to reflect what you were thinking, whether it was a day ago, whether it was a few weeks ago. It helps you to reflect your thoughts and then go back and see, I was thinking that, now I can better myself for the future to come. you know, you do a lot of coaching, and you know, as I said in the beginning of the podcast, I described it of you know, author, coach, teacher, podcaster, and speaker. The reason I did that is literally based off what you offer. You do offer all these services, and you do offer all these different you know, amazing work, essentially. How did you start all this? Did you one day just wake up and say, I want to do all this? Or was it a progressional series of events?
Yeah, definitely progression. And so after having those experiences at Thunderbird 2008, 2009, I knew that coaching was going to be a part of my future then, but I didn't have the courage to live it. So after I finished the degree, I went to a large healthcare system to work for 2 years full time as the director of talent sourcing. And that was a very good time because I was able to make money and build a little bit of a brand in the community, and that was nice. But in February of 2011, I really started to debate and think through, I want to coach more, but I'm not sure how. So in February 2011, I decided to launch my coaching practice. So I went through 6 months of kind of creating and ideating. So formally in October of 2011, I stopped working at the healthcare system and started working for myself. But at the beginning of any business, right, you have to be really thinking about how do you supplement income? So I taught classes at a local university and worked as a career coach for a little bit at another university until I could get my business to the point it was producing revenue that I could work in it full time, which was January 2015. So when you think about everything that you just said, Ross, that it has taken a lot of iteration and growth and development, because I started out as a career coach, and then it kind of morphed into communications training and coaching, and then it morphed into personal branding or leadership branding coaching, and then it morphed into executive coaching, and then it became organizational change consulting. And at the beginning of last year, 2021, I published a book called I Know. And so then that morphed into a series of what's called the You and I Know Circle, which is a series of, you know, masterminds or reading groups based on the book. And so I offer all of these different services that you reference, from executive coaching to leadership development to online courses to the podcast to speaking, all of these things. And it's because, number one, I have intentionally, proactively put myself into those learning situations because I wanted to learn and grow. And number two, society is really changing quickly. And so the way that we engage people is also changing. And so I've had to iterate and change the services or the products that I offer to the consumer, because what they desire is so different from even 5 years ago. Right. So I think for everybody listening, it's like you have to go through and intentionally challenge yourself to learn different things. But then you also have to be listening very deeply to understand what it is that's happening in the marketplace to figure out how do you shift and adjust your service. So, yes, coaching is still, you know, expected of me. But the thing that has been growing a lot faster than I could have imagined is the You and I Know Circle. I wasn't expecting that to become as big as it has been. And so these are the things about life, is if you have that leadership brand, if you have that purpose, you have that mission, how something plays out in front of you, you can adjust and amend to it depending on what the circumstances are. But as long as you have that core why, anything is your oyster, right? You can do basically anything you want.
Yeah, if you don't mind me asking, you have been mentioning about the You and I Circle. Do you mind sort of touching on that and what it is? And
Yeah, I think it's an important thing that, you know, we're moving to a place in society where the world's information is effectively free, right? So for me to sell information, that's a little bit harder. But I think we're moving to a place, what is often referred to as the experience economy. And so what I started to realize after talking to many of my clients was that, yeah, some of them did desire one-to-one coaching, but some of them also desired group accountability, right? To be able to share ideas with people that are in their sphere of influence. And so the You and I Know Circle is basically a group of individuals who we talk every other Friday for about 2 hours about concepts that exist inside my book. And so these individuals, in between our meetings, they're having conversations with each other. They're holding one another accountable. They're taking new risks and new actions and being vulnerable in between the conversations. And then when we have these dialogues, right, we're talking about wins, we're recognizing one another, holding one another accountable to the things we said we were going to do, and we're setting intentions and plans in place for the next couple of weeks, right? So it's kind of like an accountability group, but it's also kind of a reading group. It's also a little bit of coaching from me. It's also a mastermind in some ways. So it's morphing and changing as time passes and progresses. But really what it is it's a safe place for people to be able to discuss some of their life's hardest challenges and the means by which they're overcoming them. And I think that that's going to be a bigger part of our future as we walk into 2022 and 2023, is that we're going to want to be a part of these types of groups where we can share our journey openly and freely and be safe as we're navigating the growth and transition for ourselves.
Yeah, we were discussing just before we started recording this podcast about, you know, the how people, especially now, you know, during the pandemic from 2020, 2021, now we're into 2022, how so many different people have gone through, you know, this time period of, you know, COVID and all that, and how everyone has struggled differently. Now we're coming out of that. We're not free from it, but we're coming out of it, and we have to transition into a different world, essentially, of how we can learn from that and progress from it. And something I was talking to someone yesterday about was personal growth. We have to want to grow ourselves. Now, we've learned from during the pandemic itself, we have all been held back into certain ways that we can't do things like we used to do it anymore. So now we have to say business, you know, we all do business. We have to, you know, business is the way we all work. We have to want to personally learn to grow. And if you want to do business and you want to succeed in business, it's not necessarily, it's a money factor. It's the personal growth factor. You have to see what's happening and move with it, because if you don't move with the wave, essentially the wave is just going to drown you. So your groups are essentially, like you were saying, is that they know they want to grow and they've had maybe some burdens on them. And now it's, look, this is what's been happening to me. This is how do I overcome that? And you're saying that everyone has that, and they're going to start holding people accountable for it. You know, sometimes it's difficult for people to go to their close ones and discuss certain things. So it's easier maybe to open up to people who aren't, you know, close ones or family friends and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. There's a large public relations firm, I think it's based in Europe, it's called Edelman, and they do every year something called the Trust Barometer. And so they're looking to understand who in society do we find to be credible or trustworthy. And the person that is trusted the most is, quote unquote, a person like myself. Mm. So yes, sometimes we don't necessarily have the relationships with family or a certain group of friends, but if we can talk to other business people who are like us, who have roughly the same motivations or values or beliefs, but we don't necessarily work with them every day, it's still an equivalent level of safety that allows for people to then talk openly, right? And especially as you climb the corporate ladder and you get to those executive levels, there are very few people around you that you can have those deep and meaningful conversations, because you have, you know, different things that are stopping you from being able to share openly within the company or within your family. So there's real significant value in knowing yourself deeply, knowing what your brand is, and then finding tribes of people who are like-minded, and then just letting whatever happens happen from there. Because the more we release those old stale mental models, the more we make room for new ideas to enter into our life, the more prosperity that's going to come our way.
Exactly. You know, that trust in general, whether it's in life, whether it's in business, is something very hard to grasp onto. That's essentially when you, as you grow older, your friendship groups grow smaller, because you start to grasp onto who you can trust and who you wish to be around, which is something, you know, we'll stick to the business side of things as well, which is another aspect of your business that you always, I know you work with a lot, which is creating a unique leadership brand and brand awareness and self-brand identity, if you want to say, is something key to anybody's you know, success, really. What is your you know, unique leadership brand, and how do you focus on that with clients?
Yeah, I think getting to understand what your purpose is, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, it's right, we have these kind of central motivations or aims for our life, right? We need to have goals, we need to have these directions, we need to learn. So the way that I help people to understand this is to make it really tactical for them. And so I have them collect 5 data sets of information about themselves. And the first one is a personality assessment called the DISC. because it's a way that we can assess and understand our word choice, our tone of voice, or our body language, right? So it's how we communicate with others. That's a really important thing in the first one. Number two is what motivates you, right? So there are 12 core human motivators. So which are your top three or four? Because the more time you spend living what motivates you, the happier you're going to be, right? So that's really critical to understand that. And that's number two. The third thing I ask them to discover about themselves is what are their top five or six core values, right? These lessons that they've learned throughout their life. So that's really important to know. Fourth piece is a Q&A that helps them to look at their past, their present, and their future to identify some of those really penultimate events that have shaped them into who they are, right? That's really critical too, the subjective side of our growth. And then the fifth data set is this idea of your authority. What are your strengths? What are your talents? What are your skills that you've developed over time? So in order to understand your purpose or your leadership brand, we have to collect data about who you are, and then we look for patterns or themes across all five. And you could probably find 5, 6, or 7 themes or currents that run through each of them, but the patterns are the power, because from those patterns, you can write your personal mission statement. You know what your top 5 or 6 core values are, and then you could write a unique value proposition or a leadership brand. And sometimes that's one paragraph, sometimes that's 3 paragraphs, depending on your context or your situation. But then the trick is saying, I have this data about myself, I found these patterns, I've written these guiding statements. Now, how do I go live them? And that's really the kicker for a lot of people, is that they don't have the journal, they don't have the time for reflection, they don't have the right habits and routines that allow for them to start saying no to things in their life that are not aligned with their brand, and to start saying yes to the things that are. And so it's a difficult process to start to spend less time with certain friends or to possibly change your job, but it's the exact right thing to do to move into that place of happiness and joy where you're living your leadership brand every single day.
Yeah, implementation is always one of the hardest things to do in a job role, in like you've just explained, in yourself, whether you have to give up certain things in life, stop hanging around with certain people, or stop doing certain things. It's one of the toughest decisions, but sometimes it needs to be done, you know?
And it really does. And that's the thing, is that in my book, I know the first three chapters are intentionally designed to help people let go of the previous version of themselves. Right. So how do you navigate loss of the previous version of yourself? How do you overcome fear? And how do you release the old stale emotions? Because you can't ever accept something new and beautiful into your life until you've let something go and made space for it. Right. So it's, even though it's emotionally difficult, nobody else needs to know that you're going through or doing it. Right. You just have to really do it for yourself to make space for some beautiful future to arrive.
I see also that you provide online courses. Does what we were just speaking about with your, you know, say your five values or your five discs, or you, as you were explaining, do your online courses, do they provide, or can people reach out to the online courses and go through this with you?
Yeah, so the online courses are designed that once a person gains access, they then take one of these personality assessments to be able to understand a little bit more. And so each of the respective three classes has a different assessment at the front side, depending on what they're trying to learn. So yes, you take a course, you take one of the online assessments, and then you go through roughly 2.5 hours of material that I've recorded and kind of curated for that particular topic. But there's also a download that exists inside of the class. And so you do an online assessment, you have 2.5 hours of video, plus you take the download and you make notes. So I always make myself available to anybody who buys one of the online courses to just give them clarity. So if we were to need to talk for 30 or 60 minutes about something inside one of the classes that you were still a little bit unsure about, I'm absolutely happy to talk to anybody about that, because I want them to get to that point of clarity so they can move to that next level of their own life.
Not only just courses, do you do anything like one-on-one sessions with people, or do you work particularly just with companies?
So I would say that most of my revenue in the last few years has come from organizations specifically, and it's been team training. There's been some executive coaching. There's been some strategy and cultural change. But yes, I still do provide one-to-one coaching. And so there is on my website, on the homepage, that kind of blue section on the homepage where anybody can put in their name and email address and have a free 30-minute strategy discussion with me. And I have, you know, different pricing packages that go all the way from $7 to buy a copy of the book online, all the way up to $12,000, right, for people who want a very long engagement. So there are lots of different price points in between for one-to-one coaching. So whether it's buying a copy of the book, or if it's an online course, or if it's talking to me for an hour, or if it's all the way up to 10 or 12 sessions, that's really the person's choice, and I'm happy to show up for them in that way. But I really want it to be customized and tailored to the person, because everybody grows and develops in their own time in their own way. And so that's why I offer such a range of possibility, because everybody's going to go through their own transformation differently.
Yeah, everyone, you know, everyone has different journeys in life. Everyone goes through different things. Everyone has different upbringings. So it's nice to hear that you're still sticking to essentially that authenticity side of things, that even if, regardless if they go from a book or to your $12,000 package, you still want to try and keep some authentic side to it and try and tailor something to them, regardless of what they buy from you, from your website, essentially. That's great. You have here a Transform My Organization's Culture, which is finding inclusion in diversity. Is that something you have been touching upon, or what is that particularly about with that?
Yeah, so really when I go into an organization to provide any type of, you know, transformation, it really does look at a number of things. We have to take a good look at what are the current core values or the mission that guide the organization. What are the current compensation models and structures that help to support the goals or the mission or the vision of the business? What are the meeting structures? How often are those communication channels really open and aligned inside of the organization? And so once we've gotten to some level of baseline clarity about a few of those topics, then my work is to create basically a series of coaches inside the business. And so that can be supervisors or managers or directors, whatever level it is that you want me to help with. But really what it is that the more that we can teach coaching skills to the supervisors and the leaders inside your business, the more that the organization is going to open up. And so, you know, a coach is just a person who listens really well and identifies patterns and who is great at asking questions. And a coach is great at saying, I believe that every person around me is creative, resourceful, whole, and capable of finding their own answers, right, really deeply. And so I try to create that environment inside of the people that I help and the businesses that I help in a way that they all become wonderful coaches to one another. And I think that that's the really significant power, is when you have a culture of very open discussion where people have an opportunity to constantly be heard and take calculated risks, but feel that support, now the team is going to be able to accomplish really tremendous things because everybody feels safe to take those risks and to communicate lessons learned and to try and iterate on different things that they might not have before. So it's a lot of fun for me to go into a business and really help with those things because you can see change really quickly.
That's interesting. Like, it's somewhat of a philosophy I've worked by, and we spoke about it in the beginning of my brand. Essentially, one of the mottos I have on my website is learn today, teach tomorrow. It's a process I like to work with, and I have tried it with, you know, some of my staff and colleagues that I used to work with when I was over in the Middle East. It's essentially that every day is a day to learn and tomorrow is a day to teach. So the point of that is, if I have learned something from somebody else, you're gaining that knowledge. And if you're going to gain the knowledge and just keep it for yourself, for me, what I understand is that it's being selfish, essentially. So when you gain knowledge, for me, it's I want to pass it on to other people for them to learn and for them to continuously pass it on to others. It's that way of I'm learning and then I'm going to continuously teach people. You know, if you're happy with just being where you are today, you're not going to push yourself tomorrow. So that's my theory of, you know, learning today, teaching tomorrow sort of theory. So that that sort of leads on to what you're doing there. You're continuously not just going into a company and saying, oh, I'm here to coach you and I'm done. You're actually coaching everyone for them to then continue the coaching within the company and pass that knowledge on continuously.
Yeah, so important. I'm glad you brought that distinction, because it really does matter, like, tremendously, right? When the deepest of the core needs that humans have, number one, is for personal growth and development. Like, we can't be on Earth without learning and growing. That's what we're here for. But the second kind of self-actualized need that we have is the contribution to the growth and development of others.
Yes.
And so if you create a system inside of a business that is basically a flywheel by itself, that you put the right structures and systems and meeting plans in place, the amount of growth and development that you're going to feel, but then immediately going to be able to pay forward, is just going to become a wheel that's going to start spinning faster, and your organization's going to achieve more because people really genuinely enjoy learning and teaching others. Like, it's a thing that's deeply ingrained instinctually in each of us. So the putting those systems and structures in place taps into a deep thing inside of every single person on your team that is going to help the entire business thrive.
Yes, it's important to try. And, you know, I like to bring that on anyone. I try to teach it to some of my clients I work with, you know, even if it's not that they have any staff or colleagues now, it's for later on when they do grow their business. You know, try and keep it in your mind that you have to constantly want to learn, and you have to pass that knowledge on to your staff, your colleagues later at some point in time. And the reason I do it is because they have to understand that at some point, maybe you're sick, maybe you're in a meeting, maybe you're going on a business trip somewhere. They have to know how to run your job or your company, whatever it is, whilst you're away, whilst another colleague is away. They have to understand that fundamental information. So you can't hold everything, and you can't, you know, do all the work yourself. You have to learn how to delegate. You have to learn how to work as a team, essentially. And that's the whole point, teamwork. A company won't be successful if they're just an individual person. You can be, but if there is a team of people, that's why you've hired them in the beginning, to work as a team. I just want to, you know, sort of touch up on your book. We haven't necessarily spoken too much about your book, which is I Know. There it is. I Know by Michael Seaver. When did you sort of write that? When did you publish it, or where can people get that?
Yeah, thank you for asking, Russ. It's 40,000 retailers around the globe. And so it's predominantly, people will find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Apple or Google, because it's available print, it's available in ebook, it's available in audiobook as well. And I have been told since I started coaching that I should write about my story or write about my client stories. And I was always very nervous and shy to do that. But when the pandemic started in 2020, I really, you know, sat down for a second, looked back at my journal and my notes, and I said, I think it's time, right? We all have a little bit of extra time to go within and to do a little bit of self-discovery. So I hired a writing coach in the summer of 2020. We partnered for about 6 months. And it was a very therapeutic process for me to be able to get all of these ideas out into one place that can help anybody who desires. So the way that we designed the book is, again, to be in those three sections. I already described the first section. But really what it is that in the first section, we're ending and letting go of our old self. In the second section, is an emotional neutral zone. We're trying to define our leadership brand. We're trying to build our emotional intelligence. And we're creating this new identity by which we're going to show up in the world. And then the third three chapters are really about these new beginnings that we're going to launch into. How do you market this new identity? What's the organizational culture you're going to design as a result? And then how do you become a coach to coaches? So what I want people that are feeling at all disengaged or unhappy or maybe unappreciated, maybe you're not living up to your potential you feel, maybe you just don't have the work-life balance that you desire, this book will teach you that all of the answers to life's really difficult questions are already inside you, right? And it teaches you how to tap into those things about yourself that you wouldn't have, because humans are far more similar than we are dissimilar. Right? The media kind of pits one group against the next, but we're really, really similar. So once you start the text and you work through the chapters and the stories and the research and the processes, by the end, you're going to know your authentic self, right? You're going to know what your personal version of happiness or joy, you're going to know more about your communication style, your motivators, your strengths, your core values. And what it does is it's designed to give you clarity, because you'll know what to say yes or no to. You'll know who to surround yourself by. So I really designed it to tell my story, to share some research, to give some processes, but to also give other client examples and stories to really tap into that part of the brain that really likes to see how transformation happens. And so it's a short read, right? I think it's only 54,000 or 55,000 words, and you can get through the audiobook pretty quick. But I really encourage everybody that as you're doing that, to, like Ross talked about earlier, take out the journal and just like really reflect on your life really powerfully and really meaningfully to identify those patterns that have occurred. Because once you can identify those, you can identify your clarity and your strengths far simpler, and then you'll know exactly what to cut out of your life and not spend time on. So it's a really, really empowering book in that way.
Thank you very much for that. Absolute pleasure. No, it sounds interesting. Like I said, I would like people to get the book, like we described. It was, it's called I Know, as Michael said. It's available on, you know, it's available on Apple. It's available on Amazon. It's available on, you know, ebook, Audible, and other platforms. So, Michael, I'd like to say thank you very much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
Yeah, you too, Ross. Thank you so much. And if anybody else, you know, wants to learn more, what Ross has been referencing is michaelssieber.com. My middle name is Scott, so that's why there's two S's there in the center. So thanks, Ross, for being able to give me just a little bit of opportunity to share with your audience kind of my journey. But I like, again, that you and I have so much in common, is that I'm trying to uplift the underserved. You're trying to help the unfound. We really just want to give people that voice. We really want to help them be found, right? So thank you for doing the work you're doing too.
Thank you very much for that. That's very kind of you. Yeah, we are sort of somewhat on you know, similar wavelengths, essentially, of what we're trying to do in the bigger spectrum of the world. Like, again, I'd like to say thank you very much for you being on here. I'd like to say thank you, everyone who has been listening, who does follow the podcasts. And I'd like to say thank you very much for being with us. Have a good day, have a good week, and have a good weekend. This is another episode of Unfound Help Podcast. Goodbye.